Praise the Lord. Title on the screen this morning, How Long Will You Mourn for Saul? How long will you mourn for Saul? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Let's read that again. Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. The message this morning, How long will you mourn for Saul? Sometimes, like Samuel, we can mourn over the past, over things that have happened, things that are often out of our control, rejection, failure, fears, disappointment, unfulfilled expectations, the sins of other people. If mourning could take hold of Samuel, this great man of God, so that he needed a word from God to break him out and free him from it, it can happen to us. Samuel had a hard time letting go of Saul. Samuel had a hard time letting go of the past. I mean, he'd invested so much. He'd prophesied over Saul. He anointed King Saul. He walked alongside King Saul, gave him the word of the Lord. He won some victories with Saul, some military accomplishments, great blessing that came into the land because Samuel was walking alongside Saul. But listen, there are some things that we cannot change. There are some things we simply cannot get back. And what are we going to do? Are we going to mourn the rest of our life? Take on a melancholy spirit? Take on sadness into our being so that we never live in the true victory and fruitfulness of God again? Or are we going to do what God told Samuel? Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse's house because I've provided me a king among his sons. Samuel had a horn of oil, and so do you. Samuel had the horn of an animal, and in it was the holy anointing oil, which he would anoint and consecrate and separate the future unto the living God. And you have been given a horn of oil. You have a personal bottle of anointing oil. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, you can pour out something in a fresh way. You can anoint a new day. You can anoint the future. You can prophesy into the future. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, you can anoint a new day in God. How long will you mourn for Saul? How long will you lament over the past? How long will you lament over mistakes and things that have happened and things that people have done? Perhaps Samuel was fighting some self-condemnation, remorseful over the lostness, the waywardness that had taken hold of Saul. I mean, he'd given him the word of the Lord. He'd prayed over him. He prayed for him. And now there was this waywardness and this lost condition in this king. Maybe Samuel was fighting some condemnation, and sometimes we do too. We have misgivings and apprehension about things that have happened and people that we've been involved with in the past of life. Samuel probably wondered, maybe I should have prayed more. I could have prayed more for Saul. Maybe there's some responsibility on my part. Maybe I could have come alongside him more often. Maybe I could have called on him more often, encouraged him more often in the word of the Lord. Sometimes we feel that in our spirit when there's failed relationships or fractures that take place or failures in life. What could I have done more? See, there are two kinds of failures. Failures caused by other people and failures caused by ourselves. Two kinds of failures in life. Two kinds of difficulties, those caused by others and those that we cause ourselves. But again, like Samuel, we have to hear the word of the Lord. How long will you mourn over Saul? Are we going to pine away in our distress and in our memories and in our agony over the past, or are we going to arise in God? Are we going to sit off in the corner and not be involved with God to the level we should anymore because of things of the past? Or are we going to take a horn of oil, get some fresh anointing on our life, and anoint a new day in God, walk out into the future with the Lord? It's not easy to handle disappointment in life by way of circumstances or people, as Samuel found out. That mourning that took hold of his spirit, that sadness, that disappointment over the past that was in him. It's not easy to handle disappointment in a family, broken relationships, breach that happens, mistakes that are made. As Joseph found out, young man Joseph in Genesis 37, and I want to refer to him for a few minutes in this message as well. 17 years of age, and there he was, so blessed of God, living in a beautiful home under the covenant of the Lord, but his brothers hated him, and they rejected him, they envied him, and one day they took him and cast him into a pit, and then they sold him into slavery to a band of Midianites who were going down to Egypt, where he would be a slave the rest of his life, and he would be forgotten as a dead man. Probably chained up on that caravan, stumbling along day after day. It took many days, at least a week or more, to get from the land of Canaan down into Egypt. Can you imagine him stumbling along in the dust? Or maybe he was caged up, held captive during those days and nights. And I'm sure he chided himself and wondered what had taken place. Maybe I shouldn't have shared my dreams. Maybe I shouldn't have shared what God had put in my heart. Should have kept it to myself. Were my motives pure in sharing that, or was I prideful? What about my brothers, the times I came to my father and told them about the misdeeds of my brothers and their carnal ways? And was I really looking for correction for them, or was I looking to lift myself up? Was I vain? Down into Egypt, many sleepless nights, bitter memories, fighting fears, wondering what was going to happen with his life. A slave in bondage, the possession of another man and another system. What was going to happen to Joseph? What would Joseph do? 17 years of age, facing those kind of circumstances, something far beyond anything you and I have faced. And Joseph had to make a decision. Am I going to mourn over the past? Am I going to lament what has taken place in my life? Or am I going to pray through my tears? Am I going to pray through my heartache? Am I going to pray through my fears and believe God for a new day? Can I anoint a new day in God? The years went on. Times of blessing, times where he was forgotten, times where he was mistreated, time where he was imprisoned again. Calling on the Lord, said, the God of my fathers will help me. The God of my fathers will help me. The Lord is with me. It's recorded many times in those chapters in the early 40 and 41 chapter of Genesis. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my help. And 13 years later, he was brought out of the dungeon. After all those years of trial, processing, where he had to hold to the word of the Lord, even though circumstances were so against him, 13 years later, he came up out of prison to be second in command to Pharaoh, second to Pharaoh only. The grace of God had delivered him and set him free and given him a new day. Man would say, he's damaged goods. Put him on meds. Best you can hope for is that he could cope with life. He's not going to amount to much. But God said, he's mine. He's called. He's anointed. I know the plans that I have for him. He's chosen. I'm going to give him a future and a hope. How long will you mourn for Saul? Get some anointing in your life and go out and anoint a new day. Anoint some new kings. Anoint some Davids. Anoint the worship. Anoint the prayer room of the house of God. Anoint your future. Anoint the church. Joseph, 30 years of age, came out of the pit and went to the throne. The Bible says that a wife was given to him, and there in his early 30s, she bore him two sons. He named the first one Manasseh, meaning forgetting. He named the second one Ephraim, meaning fruitful. And let's look at the scripture. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget. God has. God has. He said, I didn't do this by myself. It was way beyond me. But God has done something in my circumstances. God has done something in my pain. God has done something in my heartache. In the bitterness of my soul laid in iron, God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Powerful demonstration in these words and in these sons, and it's a lesson for all of us that God wants to take us and help us forget the past. It's not that he couldn't remember it. The memory was there. But in Joseph's life, the pain was out. The sting was out. The power was out of the memories. The power was out of what had happened to him in the past. Now, he had not suffered because of his own sins. He had suffered unjustly at the hands of others. And maybe there are some of us here, maybe there are some of you today that have suffered unjustly at the hands of others. How long will you mourn? God has made me. God has made me forget. The Lord wants to help you today to forget the past, forget the toil, forget the heartache. Forget your father's house. Forget the people that have hurt you in the past and what they've done, because God wants to give you a new day. You cannot be an Ephraim until you are first a Manasseh. You cannot be fruitful until you first have forgotten, until God has dealt with your memories and your heartache. And he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. In the land of my affliction. The land of Egypt, the very place of his bondage, of his slavery, of the torment of his soul. In that very place, God has made him fruitful. Some of us are always trying to escape. If I could just get to another place, if I could just get to another time, if I could live somewhere else on the planet. I've had too much affliction here. I've had too many difficulties with people. There's been too many breaches in my life, too many disappointments. God wants to make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. That's his glory. That's his work. That's his presence. That's his work in your life. How long will you mourn? How long will you mourn? This morning, rise, fill your horn with oil, get some fresh anointing, get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on your life, and go out and anoint the future. Go out and anoint today. Go out and prophesy over your days. Go out and speak the word of the Lord over your life and your future. Joseph suffered unjustly through nothing he had done. But he still needed God to heal his life and heal his memories and deal with the past so he could go on and be what God wanted him to be. You say, well, that's a different case than mine. I wish I had suffered at the hands of others, but maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I've suffered at my own hands. Pastor, what about me? What about me? I'm the cause of my own troubles. I sinned, I hurt people, I disobeyed the word of the Lord, I didn't follow the counsel and obedience of God in my life, I went my own way, and now I'm living in the sorrow, I'm living in the circumstance and the regret and the heartache of that. What about me, Pastor? What can I expect from God? Mercy? mercy. You can expect loving kindness. You can expect forgiveness. You can expect the mercy of the Lord today, so that God heals your life forever, that from this moment on, you will walk out with a free spirit, and it'll be a new day in you, for you and God, because the word of the Lord has come into your life. God delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. He delights in taking the sinner and forgiving him. He delights in bringing prodigals home. You say, well, I'm not worthy to walk alongside the Lord. No, you're not. He delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Look at Scripture in Micah 7, verse 18 to 19. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, lawlessness, sin, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, his people? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Maybe you're suffering because of your own sins, the mistakes you've made, and you can't seem to get over it. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. God delights in mercy. He loves in taking people like you and forgiving them and setting them free, casting their sins into the depths of the sea. He delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Lord, show us your glory. Show us your presence, who you are, what you're like. And God said, there's three things I want you to know about me. I'm good, I'm gracious, I'm kind, and I show mercy. Hallelujah. The goodness of the Lord, the graciousness of the Lord, the mercy or the compassion of the Lord. And then in Exodus 34, the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed the Lord God. It's Jehovah, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Let these words not pass over your heart quickly today. Lord, what are you like? The Lord passed by and God declared who he was. He said, the Lord, I'm merciful and gracious. I'm long-suffering. I'm abundant in goodness and kindness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. You say, well, what about that last clause? What about our sin? What about our guilt before God? Is there something now in effect that's going down into three and four generations? Not for those who have repented of their sin and love the Lord. Exodus 20, verse 5 says that this visiting of iniquity to the third and fourth generation is to those who hate the Lord. Compare Scripture with Scripture. It's not to those who love the Lord. This is to those who refuse the Lord, who disobey, who walk away from the Lord. There are sins that go down into generations. But for those who love the Lord and come and repent of their sin, God takes our guiltiness. God takes our guilt and it's put on Christ. And Jesus Christ has borne our sin and our guilt. And our sin has been canceled. Our sin has been exterminated. Our sin has been put out of his sight. And we are free in the Lord to walk with God. The blood breaks the curse. The blood breaks the curse. There's no curse from your sin going down into two and three and four generations if you've repented of your sin and called on the name of the Lord. The blood has broken the curse. We're free to serve the Lord. We are under his mercy. We are under his grace. Oh, we've all sinned. We're all guilty. We have all been guilty before the Lord. Does that mean our sins are going to be visited on into the future? No, Jesus Christ took our sins. The Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, and by his stripes we're healed and we're set free and we're redeemed. We have a brand new day. That's the mercy, that's the love, that's the kindness of the Lord. Micah 7 and verse 8, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Oh, there are times we fall, times we choose our own way, times we fall into sin. "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall." Times we sit in darkness because we've rejected the counsel of the word and taken the spirit of the world, taken on the flesh life. When I sit in darkness, what's going to happen? Am I going to mourn in that darkness? Am I going to sit in that sin the rest of my life? No, the Bible says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The Lord will come and lift me up. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This isn't a promise to Canada, my friends. This isn't a promise to any nation of the world. This is a promise to God's people and God's people alone, that if they sin and are taken captive and are bowed down by their enemies because of their transgressions, that if God's people at any time that are called by his name will humble themselves before the Lord, cast themselves upon his presence and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, that the Lord will hear them. He'll forgive their sin, and he'll bring healing and restoration to their lives. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. He repents from the evil that he would bring on a person because of their sin. In their repentance, he changes his mind. He turns it to blessing. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Turn to me with all your heart, says the Lord." If you're suffering because of your mistakes today and you're mourning over the past and you can't seem to forget what has happened to your life, God wants to give you a new day. Turn to the Lord with all your heart, with some fasting prayers, with weeping, with mourning. Tear open your heart before the Lord. Return to the Lord. He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Men of God and the prophets of the Lord in the Old Testament called out to God on the basis of this aspect of his nature and character, that he was gracious, that he would repent him of evil, that he would turn to his people and bless them, even though they had gone astray. We have one example in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, but there are many. Nehemiah, as he cried out before the Lord because of the captivity, because of the broken situation over the people, he said, "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.'" What a wonderful character and nature in our Lord. Even if we've been scattered to the farthest parts of the heaven, that if we repent and call on the Lord and give our lives in surrender to him, he will gather us out from the places we've been and he'll bring us back to his dwelling place and restore our lives and bring blessing to us, bring strength to us. Don't mourn over the past any longer today. Don't mourn over your sins and over your mistakes. If you've cried tears of repentance and you have honestly sought surrender before the Lord and forgiveness of your sins, then you are forgiven from the past. Why would you mourn any longer? Don't do the grace of God a disservice. Don't do the mercy of God a disservice by continuing on in a mourning spirit. Arise up. Come on, Samuel, rise up. Fill your horn with oil. Fill your vessel with a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit and go out and anoint the new day in God. Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. The Lord turned the captivity, people that were in captivity, people that were in a broken condition, in bondage. When the Lord turned that captivity, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Let's have the worship team come. Then Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, said the Apostle Paul, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. How long will you mourn for Saul? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen me a king among his sons. Samuel, don't live in the past. The mourning's over. Go on and walk with God. Now this morning, this is a word for everybody, but it's a word for some in particular. You need this morning to get a fresh touch of the Lord. You're hindered by the past. You're broken down by the past. Maybe mistakes you've made, hurt you've caused, sin that you have done. Your life has fallen into a sadness, and you sit back wondering if God can ever use you fully and wondering if you can ever walk in the full victory of God. The Lord wants you to know He is a God of mercy. You can expect mercy. You can expect kindness when you come in your repentance. You can receive a new day. If this word was for you specifically today, would you slip out from where you are, come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to fill my horn with oil. I'm going to fill my life up with the Holy Spirit again. I'm going to fill my life up with anointed scriptures. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to anoint a new day. I'm going to forget about that Saul spirit. I'm going to forget about what's happened in the past, the brokenness, the heartache. I'm going to go and anoint some Davids. I'm going to get involved with people that want to follow God with all their heart. And I'm going to join them. And I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. Others, come. Make it a point of decision today. Memorize 1 Samuel 16:1 and put the mourning away from your life, because the Lord is giving you a brand new day, a brand new day to walk in His presence. Hallelujah. The past is over in your repentance. The past is over in your repentance. Forgetting those things which are behind. It's not one of us that are not hurt at times in life, or not a person here that hasn't made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You say, well, Pastor, I've been hurt in churches. Well, I've been hurt in church too. But how long are you going to mourn for Saul? How long are you going to affect you? Some people today are mourning. They're sitting in their houses at home because they're so disaffected by what happened to them in church. They're in a state of mourning, and they'll never come into the great fruitfulness of God for their life because they can't get over the mourning. They can't get over what happened, what people said to them, what people did to them. Maybe a church fell apart. Maybe there was a church split. Maybe words were spoken and some things could never be brought back together again. And now they sit on the sidelines when God says, how long are you going to mourn over the past? I'm a God of mercy. Receive my forgiveness. Receive my kindness and love. Fill your horn with oil and go out and anoint a new day in God. Come on, let's give ourselves to the Lord this morning. Let's receive from the Lord. Receive the oil. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the blessing. May our lives be changed the rest of our life on the basis of the Word of God. Hallelujah, Lord.